Heavenly Father, your word is good. It is wise. Father, we want wisdom, and so we pray that your Spirit might do his work among us, giving it to us. And we pray that the time we spend now, these few minutes in your word, Father, we pray that it might help us to hunger for wisdom, to see where it is to be found, to recognise the price of it and to be willing to pay it, because wisdom is glorious, because you are glorious. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were a betting man, which I am not, I would put money on the fact that we've all been praying two things over the last year and a half. We've been praying for patience and for wisdom. I know that those have featured regularly in my prayers. And I cannot think of many episodes in my lifetime when I have needed wisdom more acutely. As a leader responsible for other people's safety, as someone subject to the leadership of others who I need them to make wise decisions for all of us, as a husband and a father and a son, as a colleague and a friend and a neighbour, relating to people who are under significant and ongoing stress in this moment. People respond to that stress in different and not always predictable ways. As someone who is subject to those same stressors, who has to manage their impact on me. There are so many competing claims about what is going on and how we should respond to it all. There are so many different voices and interests. Who is right? What advice should we listen to? How should we handle different people with their different and competing views? We actually have to do stuff. Which path should we follow when we need to actually act and take steps forward? We need wisdom. Wisdom is the capacity to navigate well through life, whatever the circumstances. It's the capacity to see and then to walk the paths that are right and good. There is a knowledge dimension to wisdom, knowing how the world works and where different paths lead and what constitutes good and right. There is a discernment dimension to wisdom, a capacity to take knowledge and to apply it fruitfully in a particular set of circumstances or arguments. There is a relational dimension to wisdom, an ability to respond helpfully to people and to communicate effectively and persuasively with people. There is a character dimension to wisdom, the capacity to exercise self-control and courage in the face of provocation and danger, to act with humility rather than vanity, to choose what is right rather than what is easy, to resolve to do what is necessary even though it is difficult. The classic Old Testament illustration of wisdom is, of course, you know it at home, King Solomon, who brought peace and prosperity to his land, who delivered justice in the most difficult of cases, who was admired and respected far and wide, and who walked humbly before God. Now, in the end, Solomon turned his back on wisdom. But when he was walking in wisdom, it was a very attractive sight. God wants us to be wise. As we will see in a moment, there is something deeply satisfying, good, about living wisely. And so today I want to encourage us in a commitment to living wisely each day. And I want to talk about three things: the blessing of wisdom, the source of wisdom, and the price of wisdom. Firstly, the blessing of wisdom. The book of Proverbs, smack bang in the middle of the Bible, that is all about wisdom. And it constantly rehearses the value of wisdom. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 15, it says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." Wisdom is more precious than gold, silver, or rubies. Elsewhere in Proverbs 24, we're told that while honey is sweet to the taste buds, wisdom is sweet to the soul. Why is it so precious? Why is it so pleasant to possess wisdom and to live wisely? Well, this is, if you've got Proverbs 2 there, this is the moment. Just scan those, I don't know, first 14 or so, the first bunch of verses in Proverbs 2. In the first six verses, Proverbs 2 begins by urging us to get wisdom. And then if you're scanning there, you'll see in the bit from verse 7, it tells us why. Just note some of the reasons. We see that wisdom is God's way to give us victory and to guard us from danger. It leads to good paths. It will save from wicked people. Wisdom makes it more likely that you and I will make right judgments about people, and so we're less likely to get conned or abused or exploited. It makes it less likely that we will provoke relational conflict, and more likely that when there is conflict in relationships, it will be handled constructively and not destructively. Wisely stewarding our resources, particularly our time and our money, means that we can avoid all sorts of anxieties and pressures that people commonly get themselves into. And we will control our schedules and our finances rather than being controlled by them. Wisdom will lead us to recognise and take steps to protect ourselves from addictive behaviours. There are all sorts of reasons that wisdom is blessing. When we walk wisely, there is less unnecessary hassle and grief in life, and there is a greater measure of joy and peace. And when life's storms do come, we are better equipped to navigate through them. God urges wisdom upon us because wisdom is good for us. It's a characteristic of God. When we grow in it, we are growing like God. So of course it's good for us. The good life is the wise life. This is the blessing of wisdom. What is the source of wisdom? What is the source of wisdom? Well, all over the place, the Bible makes it clear that God is the ultimate source of wisdom. There are dozens of verses that you could go to, but Proverbs 2 verse 6 says it as plainly as any. The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. This is why the great theme of Proverbs is what? I can't hear you, you're all at home. I'm just going to assume that you've got it perfectly right and you're saying it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The great theme of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If I want wisdom, I must see the awesome glory and majesty of God. I must respect it, and in faith I must bow down before him because of it. Because only when I see clearly the truth about who God is will I be willing to humbly and seriously listen to him. And it's only in listening to him that I gain wisdom. Why is God the only source of true and ultimate wisdom? Because he's the creator of all reality. He's the ultimate author of all truth. He's the only one with perfect knowledge and perfect power and perfect character. To live wisely, you've got to know what life is for. And to know what life is for, you have to turn to the author of life. To get wise, we must listen to God. It is God who tells us the right paths and what is true and what is false. It is God who reveals the big picture of how the world works and gives us the proper perspective for looking at life. And God has spoken his wisdom prophetically down through the ages at various times and in various ways, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. But he has spoken his wisdom most essentially and definitively in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Hebrews 1 says, familiar words, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. When John opens his gospel, calling Jesus the Word, he wants us to see that Jesus is the ultimate and definitive expression of God's wisdom to us. Jesus reveals to us why we exist and what our lives are for. And Jesus is the lived example of the wise life. He both tells us wisdom and he shows us the purest embodiment of the wise life. The beginning of Colossians 2 says that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:24 describes Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God for those whom God has called to himself. Jesus is the key to wisdom, because he is the true and pure embodiment of divine wisdom. And he's the one who makes the wise life possible for us. The wise life is the life of walking with God along the paths that God has ordained for us. But for that life to be possible, the great scandal of our sin had to be dealt with. The great blindness of sin had to be cured so that we would see the glory of God and want the wisdom of God in the first place. And Jesus does all of that. And then he guides us along that God-ordained narrow path, which is the wise path, to eternal life. Without Jesus, the truly wise life is not possible. Even for the smartest or the most savvy among us, without Jesus, the truly wise life is not possible. But today, it's, 2,000 odd years after those years when perfect wisdom walked the dusty back roads of Galilee and the hilly streets of Jerusalem. So how do we hear the wisdom of God? How do we hear the word of God? Well, in the scriptures, which from beginning to end present to us Christ. 16th century reformer Martin Luther described the Bible as the swaddling clothes and the manger in which Christ lies. They are where we find Christ. How does Christ, the Word incarnate, come to us now that he's in heaven? In the scriptures, which are the Word of God written. The Word incarnate comes to us in the scriptures, which are the Word of God written. That is why Christ could tell the Pharisees that the scriptures they studied so diligently and misunderstood so spectacularly testified to him. That's why the psalmist delighted so much in the statutes and the precepts of the Old Testament law, as we heard from Psalm 19, which Sarah read for us. That's why Paul could write those famous words to Timothy that he wrote in 2 Timothy 3 from verse 14. Pop them up on the screen. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Scriptures are what make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Word of Scripture is how we access the saving wisdom of Christ. The Scriptures reveal our need for Christ because they confront us with the reality of our sin and of divine judgment. The Scriptures reveal that Christ is the Saviour who truly and completely addresses that need and so leads us to salvation. The Scriptures reveal the saved life to us. They show us how saved people live and the future that is in store for them. They reveal where the power for living the saved life lies. The words of Scripture, like it says, they teach, correct, rebuke, and train us so we can grow wiser and live wisely. Wisdom comes from God. God speaks his wisdom in the ultimate and definitive way in Christ Jesus. Christ comes to us clothed in Scripture. We access the incarnate Word of God by the written Word of God that comes to us in the Scriptures. There is no other way. If you want to be truly wise, you need Christ and the Scriptures. If you will not pursue Christ in the Scriptures, then you will not become wise. God is the source of wisdom. What is the price of wisdom? What is the price of wisdom? I want to finish by saying three things about the price of wisdom, how it is that we obtain wisdom. Firstly, the price of wisdom is humble dependence on God, like we talked about last week. In James chapter 1 from verse 5, we're told, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given him, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Every good thing that we gain in life is a gracious gift of God, and that's true of wisdom. Here, in James, we are promised that God will give wisdom generously if we ask him. And if we do the asking from an attitude of trust in his wisdom. Don't expect to grow in wisdom if you don't regularly ask God to make you wise. Colossians 1 verse 9 speaks about growing in spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is spiritual in the sense that it is given by God's Holy Spirit. It's not something we produce in ourselves. It's something God's Spirit graciously works in us. And so we need to ask God to graciously do that work. Last week was a great encouragement to devote ourselves to prayer each day. As you pray, are you regularly asking God for wisdom? Secondly, the price of wisdom is diligent study of the Scriptures. The price of wisdom is diligent study of the Scriptures. When we ask God for wisdom, God doesn't, implant some chip in the back of our heads so that we are instantly as wise as Jesus. Wisdom is a divine gift, but at the same time we must pursue it as a human endeavour. Wisdom is something that has to be chased after and dug for. Gold and silver and rubies were mined from the ground in a process that involved lots of digging and sweat. hidden treasure is hidden. You have to search for it. One of my happiest childhood memories is from the time my parents saved up and they took us on a trip to Fiji. And we stayed in this enormous family resort with a kids' club. And the highlight was the treasure hunt, where the kids' team leaders buried a chest full of lollies somewhere on the beach. Picture, if you will, several dozen children frantically shoveling sand up and down the beach for hours while a huge Filipino guy, a huge Fijian guy, urged us on. We all wanted that chest full of lollies, and nobody was going to stop digging until it was found. Wisdom is found in Christ, and Christ is found in the Scriptures. In Psalm 1, the blessed man is the man who devotes himself to meditating on the instruction of the Lord day and night. He is blessed because that activity is leading him along the path of wisdom. We must know God's word, but we must meditate on God's word, chewing it over, praying over it, trying to connect it with what is going on in our lives and what should be going on in our lives. We must ask of it, how is this stuff that I'm reading and hearing, how is it teaching me? How is it rebuking me? How is it correcting me? How is it training me in righteousness? And we must do it together. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Or Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. God grants some people more, a greater measure of wisdom than others. But that wisdom is to be shared among us. It's to be a blessing to others. It's been my experience over the years that sometimes people devote themselves to the study of the Bible by themselves, but rob themselves of that collective work of studying it together. Those people are inevitably the ones from whom I find the people who go chasing down some heretical rabbit hole because they made a false step early on in the process that would have been corrected if they'd been doing their meditation on God's word with others. We need to dig into God's word together, and we need to dig into it strenuously and consistently if we want to grow in wisdom. If you're not devoted to studying God's word, if that's not the priority for you, then you're not going to grow in wisdom, because that's part of the price of wisdom. If you're not willing to feed on God's word each day and to invest time in feeding on it with others, like, how do you think wisdom's going to come? I haven't been to the gym in 4 months. It will be no surprise to me when I go back to discover that I have grown weaker as I try and lift heavy things. If I don't spend time in God's word, I'm not going to be growing stronger in wisdom. How do you spend time in God's word each day, each week? I spend time in God's word in the morning each day individually, and I read it with my family each night at dinner time, and I belong to a weekly growth group, and I go to church each Sunday. That's the minimum I think I need. And I'm the guy with 2 degrees in theology. Are you actually investing enough in digging for the wisdom that is there in God's word? The price of wisdom is diligent study of the Scriptures. Finally, the price of wisdom is willingness to become a fool in the eyes of the world. Willingness to become a fool in the eyes of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about how the wisdom of God appears to the world as foolishness. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter describes how the world often reacts with surprise and scorn that Christians live differently because they are being led by God's wisdom out of what the world considers to be normal. And so in 1 Corinthians 3:18, as a consequence, we're told, do not deceive yourself. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this world, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. He must become a fool so that he may become wise. If we pursue God's wisdom, the world will call us fools and worse. St. Anthony the Great was the founder of the Christian monastic movement in the 3rd century, and he is reported to have said, a time is coming when men will go mad, and when they see someone who is not mad, they will attack him, saying, you are mad, you are not like us. It's true in the 3rd century, it's true in the 21st century. Unless we are willing to embrace that, unless we are willing to embrace that and to wear the scorn of others for Christ as blessing, then we will not grow in wisdom. The unwillingness to suffer for it will always hold us back from it. Our inability to see that to suffer with Christ is blessing will be like a massive weight on our back that means we make little progress. We may live with minimal pain that way, but we will not live wisely. Some of us need to depend more humbly on God to grow in wisdom. Some of us need to get serious about digging into God's word seriously and maybe also looking for iron to sharpen iron to grow in wisdom. Some of us need to repent of our refusal to look like a fool in the eyes of friends and neighbours and family to grow in wisdom. There is a price to be paid for wisdom, but God's wisdom is worth the price. There is a price to be paid for wisdom, but God's wisdom is worth the price. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your wisdom, and we thank you that you share it. We pray that your Spirit will do his work among us, that we might see the beauty and the blessing of it and want it, hunger for it, recognise it as precious, more precious than gold and silver and rubies, sense that it tastes sweet to the soul, that it's good. And Father, we pray that in the strength of your Spirit we will pursue it. Father, where obstacles have got in the way, we pray that you will remove them. Where the obstacles are within us, we pray that you will lead us to repentance. Father, we pray that you will fill us with a hunger for your word, and that we, as we devote ourselves to it together, that we might be made wise for salvation, that you might lead some of us to salvation, that you might grow all of us in the life of salvation. Father, we pray that you give us wisdom, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.